The following program is provided by Renew Your Mind Ministries. Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God radio program, an in-depth study of the Word of God. The program name is from Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Welcome back to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God program, where we take a verse by verse, chapter by chapter study of the Word of God. And we are currently in the book of John out of the New Testament of the Bible, specifically chapter 5 of the book of John. In our last episode, we covered verses 1 through 15, I believe. And so we will pick up, or 14, and we will pick up 15 today and see how far we go. My plan is to get to at least verse 23 or 24 of chapter 5 of the book of John, and we shall see. But before we begin, I always like to do, is to remind you that you can catch past and future episodes on our website of renewyourmindministries.org. That's renewyourmindministries, that's I-E-S on ministries, plural, .org, or on any podcasting platform such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Audible. Anywhere you can hear a podcast, you should be able to hear this program of Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God Bible Study Podcast. And you can hear our sister podcast, the God Revelation Podcast, and that is where we take a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Revelation, where in that book it is revealed to us those things that are to happen or to come before the glorious return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So check out that podcast as well. As always, if you need prayer, I'll be more than happy to pray for you, and you can send that prayer request to renewyourmind@gmail.com. That's renewyourmindm@gmail.com, or you can write me. I am Brother Arnold. I can be reached at P.O. Box 721143, Jackson, Mississippi 39272. That's P.O. Box 721143, Jackson, Mississippi 39272. And I will be more than happy to pray for you. Or if you just want to report that you have acknowledged and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd be happy to hear from you to let me know about that. All right. Now, on last week, we looked at Jesus healing the man who was crippled for almost 40 years at the pool of Bethesda in the fifth chapter of John. And that's where we left off. Jesus healed the man at the pool, which we will see is going to start the religious leaders at that time persecution of Jesus because he violated one of their man-made laws of not doing a certain thing on the Sabbath when he healed the man on the Sabbath and told him to pick up his mat. And so in the eyes of the Jewish leaders or the religious leaders of that time, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, these were the educated class or leaders, the religious leaders of that time. Since Jesus had instructed the man, healed the man on the Sabbath, and instructed the man to pick up his mat, he encouraged him to violate their law, not God's law, but their law. And because of that, we're going to see they're going to start their persecution of Jesus, aiming to kill him. To kill him for breaking their law, not celebrating that this man that they all knew had been crippled for almost 40 years, who they had seen on a regular basis at that pool, because it was right near the temple. They knew this man had this handicap. They knew there was a healing. They never questioned a miracle. What they questioned, and they never celebrated it either. What they questioned was the fact, and what they cared more about was the fact that Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath and told him to pick up his mat, which broke their man-made rule. And since that point on, this would be the start of the persecution of our Lord and Savior Jesus, which they will carry on until they ultimately have him killed, which we will cover this, that in this chapter. So that summed up verses 1 through 14 in the book of John, the fifth chapter. And we're going to pick up in the 15th verse. But before we do that, let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for being our God. Lord, we just worship you and we just praise you. We just thank you for being God and nobody else. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that you extend to us. We thank you for Jesus sending your only begotten Son to die for our sins. Father God, we thank you that you did not leave him in the grave, that you raised him by the power of the Holy Spirit, that for those who accept him as his Lord and Savior, now that same Holy Spirit dwells in us. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will open our minds, our ears, and our hearts to better receive the word, your word, and understand it. And we give you the glory and we give thanks in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, and if you would, open up your Bible or your Bible app. And I'm not going to read the entire beginning chapter of chapter 5. I'm going to pick up in verse number 15. I'm going to read probably verses 23 and 24 and see how far we get. If we get beyond that, that's fine. If not, then we'll pick up where we left off on next episode, if the Lord says the same. And matter of fact, we're going to pick back up on verse 14, where Jesus sees the man that he healed in the temple. Because just to recap, when Jesus healed the man that had been crippled for almost 40 years, he left the scene. And then the religious leaders start to question the man who had been healed about who healed him and who told him to break the Sabbath. The man did not know Jesus at that time. But later on, Jesus will run into the man at the temple and reveal himself to this guy, or tell him who his name is. It's Jesus. And we're going to, that was the end of verse 14. And we're going to pick it up there. So if you would, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 5. I'm going to pick it up verse 14 and read through verse 23 or 24. And then we'll go back and break it down individually. Verse 14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, and this is the man that he had healed, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Verse 16. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Verse 17. And his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work, at his work, to this very day. And I too am working." Verse 18. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer: "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Verse 20. "For the Father loves the Son and show him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you would be amazed." Verse 21. "For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he pleased to give it." Verse 22. "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." Verse 23. "That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." And we'll stop there. All right, so let's go back to verse number 15, which says, "The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well." Now, again, we're in the book of John, chapter 5, picking up on verse 15 in our explanation. Now, the man knows who Jesus is. He goes and tells the Jewish leaders who confronted him about the source of his cure. And again, going, if you would, or if you would like, and I would encourage you to do so, if you missed last episode, we talked about Jesus healed the man. The Jewish leader confront the man about who healed him. He did not know who healed him. He did not know it was Jesus, because Jesus did not stick around and he did not give his name. Later on, Jesus will see this person in the temple, get his name. And now we see in verse 15, after Jesus identifies himself to the man that he had healed, he goes back to the Jewish leaders and tell them, the Jewish leaders, that it was Jesus who healed him, because they didn't know. All right, moving on to verse 16. And again, I'm reading from the NIV version, so your words may look a little different than mine. Verse 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Jesus often, we will see in this book and in other Gospels, which are the good news, the first four books of the Bible, which give the history of Jesus, Jesus often chose to perform healings or works on the Sabbath. You can see that in the book of Luke in chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. You can see that in the book of Matthew in chapter 12, 9 through 14. Since this is a pattern, it stands to reason that Jesus was doing this on purpose. Jesus could have encountered individuals on any day of the week and healed them and performed these miracles. So it was intentional that Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, because he was going to prove a point to these religious leaders and then to the people that was looking at them that their religion was nothing but a show. It was not about a relationship with God. It was about keeping these rules that they had made up to people, to keep the people under control. And he's going to show them that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I created the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was created for the man, not the man for the Sabbath. And so he intentionally are doing these things on the Sabbath to confront these Jewish leaders or the religious leaders at that time by confronting them with their own hypocrisy, because it was all about works to them. And because of their blindness of their works of doing these things they've made up, they're going to miss the point of accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, accepting his sacrifice, because in keeping those things, these laws that they made up, which none of them was knowing, that was the point. In order to be saved by works, you have to do the works all the time, 100% of the time. And no man was ever able to do that. Only one person was able to do that. That's Jesus, the Christ. And thus, that's why he makes the perfect sacrifice, because he can say, I was able to keep all the laws 100% of the time. No other man could ever claim that, that they kept all the laws all the time, all their lives. The Jewish leaders, Moses, nobody. And therefore, that's why Jesus came, to fulfill all the laws, to be that perfect sacrifice, sinless, sinless. All right, moving on to verse 17. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. It appears that Jesus was confronting these religious leaders face to face, because he said, in his defense. So Jesus was ultimately talking to someone, most likely someone, a part of this Jewish or religious leadership, because he said, in his defense, he said to them. So he's not talking, he's most likely talking to someone or a group of these religious leaders. Jesus began his defense of his ministry with an appeal to his Father, God the Father. Jesus is always claiming equality with God the Father, that he was God. And he's working just as his Father, God, is working, because the triune God, that's God the Father, that's one God who manifests himself in three persons. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, working in unison. So when God the Father is working, God the Son is working, God the Holy Spirit is working. So he is basically telling them in his defense, I am in just as equal with my God, that I am God. And we're going to see later, we're going to see the next couple of verses that the Jewish leaders picked up on that, that he was declaring to be God. But Jesus is telling him, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I am too, because ultimately we are one. Moving on to verse 18. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Who is him? Jesus. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Verse 18 shows us that the people of Jerusalem, specifically these Jewish religious leaders, knew exactly what Jesus was implying, that he was God. Because remember, these religious leaders are the educated class. They could read the scrolls, the Old Testament. And so when he was making these statements about his father's always working, he was too, they understand that he was claiming to be God, which he is. And so not only that even made him even more mad and more determined to kill Jesus, because not only was he breaking their man-made law of working on the Sabbath, but now in their eyes, he's blaspheming by equating himself and even calling himself God, which he is. But they did not understand that, because they were so wrapped up in their humanism and their practice and their works, they couldn't even recognize the very God that they had studied in the Old Testament was right before them. So this made them want to kill Jesus even more, what verse 18 tells us. Moving on to verse 19 of John chapter 5 out of the New Testament. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus in verse number 19, Jesus introduced in this section by repeating the word amen, that truly, truly in the Greek can be translated amen. This word is often translated as truly in the English. Using such word at the end, we typically use amen at the end of a statement. But when you put that word at the beginning of a statement, when the Jews put that word at the beginning of a statement, that is implying what he's going to say next is based upon first-hand informational, personal, direct information. So Jesus, when he starts that sentence by saying, truly, truly, I tell you, he's saying by personal experience, I know because I'm God, that as the Son, I can do nothing outside, nothing by myself, that everything I see the Father do, I'm doing. He's saying this by putting in the Jewish people who was listening to this conversation, particularly the Jewish religious leaders, when he started that, they was realizing that he was implying or saying by firsthand knowledge, he's telling them these things. In this verse, Jesus tells them that he's acting under submission to God the Father because God sent the Son. So in that relationship, he's in a submission relationship, meaning that any work he does, he's not doing it in violation of God. He's doing it because God the Father has told him to do it. Because remember, he said in this verse, and he's going to say in another verse, everything he say or do, he's getting it from the Father. So if the Jewish leaders would not have claimed, if God is working on the Sabbath, you wouldn't try to hold God to your man-made rules. Me and my Father are the same, so you can't hold me to your rules. I am above you. Now, he doesn't go over and say, I'm above you, but I think they got the point of the implication that if you're claiming to be God, naturally you're above the creature. If you're the creator, you're above the creature. But however, Jesus has shown he does what his Father tells him to do. So his actions are not sin. So he's trying to prove to them, he's given a defense of, they're accusing him of breaking their man-made rule about healing on the Sabbath. He's trying to tell them, I've broken those sins because my Father and I are one, and I only do what he tells me to do. And if he can't break your Sabbath, I don't break your Sabbath, because your man-made laws don't apply to us, to God. And we see, and we're going to see later on in John chapter 10, verse 30, where Jesus proclaimed, I and the Father are one. So then those religious leaders who was hearing this, they was getting this, that he was equating, he was saying that he was God. Of course, they didn't believe that. That's why they even wanted more to kill him. But he is. He is God. He's God in the flesh. Moving on to verse number 20 in John chapter 5. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you would be amazed. The relationship between Jesus the Son, God the Father, is one of perfect harmony because they're one. Jesus is in a state of perfect love and communion with God the Father. As a result, his actions are identical to the will of God the Father. So that's why he says, I'm only saying the things that the Father told me to say. I'm only doing the things that the Father told me to do, because they're in perfect harmony in the Trinity. Only one God. Three manifestation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, working in perfect unison and harmony. And he ends this verse by saying, Jesus says, the Father is going to show them even greater works in the future, referring to which we're eventually going to see the raising of the dead and Lazarus. And ultimately, the great miracle of his own resurrection from the dead after being buried and pretty much embalmed, that glorious rise for our sins, conquering death with all glory, with all authority over heaven and earth. The greater works that he's talking about there in this verse. All right, moving on to verse number 21. For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Once again, in verse number 21, Jesus makes a claim to power that reserved only for God. And these religious leaders knew what he was talking about. He includes the ability to raise both the spiritual and physical dead. He must have been blowing their minds when they was hearing these things, because they didn't believe it at all. They thought he was a crazy man. Moving on to verse number 22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Here in verse number 22, Jesus claimed to have the power of divine judgment. Here is saying the Father's not going to judge anyone, because he's given that to Jesus to do, because Jesus is going to pay the price for our sin. So he's going to get to judge this world, particularly those who have not accepted him, because he's given his life for them. But unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people will not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And the Father has given him the authority and the power to judge. So don't take that God is not going to judge. Father God is not, but he's going to allow Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son, to do the judging, because he paid the price. Jesus today is the Savior, but in the end, he's going to be the judge. And you can read about that in Revelation 20, chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And you'll hear more about that if you listen to our sister podcast of God Revelation. We're eventually going to talk about all that and the judgment that's going to happen on this earth once the church is raptured or taken out of this earth, and the 7 years of tribulation is going to begin. God is going to pour out his wrath and judgment on this earth. But the great thing about our God, he's so merciful. He's so great. And he's so awesome. Even during that 7 year tribulation, he's going to be offering salvation, and millions are going to take it. Millions are going to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because they're going to be seeing all these things that has never happened in the history of man, all the judgments that are going to be coming down. And you can read about those in the book of Revelation. And people are going to come to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior during that time. But the unfortunate thing about it, millions of people after witnessing all those things is going to be going on that has never happened before. People are still going to reject him. Their heart is going to be so hardened. They're still going to reject him. They're going to blame him for the things that's going to be going on. Instead of accepting, say, hey, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I missed it the first time. Because at this point, almost everybody in this world has heard about Jesus. So they're going to know they missed it. But they're going to have a God and his greatness and his mercy and his grace is going to give people another chance even during that time. But unfortunately, a lot of people is not going to accept it. Going back to John chapter 5, verse 23. Let's read that. John chapter 5, verse 23. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus here in verse number 23 makes an extremely important point. This relates not only to salvation, but also to the idea of who Christ is and how he relates to God. In the prior verses, Jesus has been pointing out how he is equal to God in various ways. These include doing the same work that we just looked at in verse number 19. Equal to God in love in verse 20 and in judgment, verse 22. Now, Jesus also claimed authority over life and death, just like God the Father, verse 21. So in this verse, Jesus makes a point to tie these other points together, namely that God expects the Son, Jesus, to be given honor just as God the Father is to be given honor, because they're one, operating in harmony. So you can't honor one and not honor the other. You cannot believe in one and not believe in the other. That won't work. This makes sense because all the qualities of Jesus that Jesus possessed, God the Father possessed as well. If Jesus really does have the power, love, judgment, and authority of God, then he deserved the same honor and respect as God. Because, of course, this means that Jesus actually is God, and he is. He's God in the flesh. He is God that is reincarnated in the flesh to show us the way, to come down here to fulfill the law in its entirety, perfectly, and to offer his godly blood, his perfect blood for our sins, dying on that cross when we should have died for our sins, which is the penalty that God demands for disobedience, for sin. But he sent his son to take the wrath, to take the penalty. How much grace, how much mercy did that take to offer his own son up? And the only thing we have to do is accept it and believe and repent. We can't work our way. We can't earn our way. We can't not do it. He has done it. And the only thing we have to do is believe and acknowledge that he did. And sadly, so many will not. So sad. But you don't have to be one of those people. If Jesus is God and is owed the same honor as God, then a person cannot reject the Son and cannot reject Jesus and claim to be right with the Father. You can't say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. That don't work according to God's word. You have to accept both. You have to accept Jesus because in his word, he said, the only way to the Father is through me. You can't say, I accept Jesus and don't accept God the Father because they're one. So you can't have one without the other. God's words tell us that. He tells us that in verse 23. Let's read it again. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. It's plain as day in God's word that you cannot have one without the other. So if you're one of those people and say, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't know about this Jesus, but yet I believe in God. Well, that doesn't work according to God's word. It's not going to get you there. It's not going to get you saved. You have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to believe him in order to believe God. You have to accept him in order to accept God. There's just no way around it. There's just no way around it. So we're going to pick up on next week in verse 24. But right now, let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you that you're God. I thank you that we can call you God. I thank you that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for us. I thank you for this time together to better study your word. I thank you for blessing it, oh Lord. I thank you for using me to be able to teach your word, Father God. I thank you for that. What an honor, what a privilege. Father God, I just ask that you forgive any sins that I may have that may prevent me from doing what you would have me to do. I thank you for this time. I thank you for every listener, oh Lord. I thank you that your word is changing them even as I speak in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is your time. Do not wait. Tomorrow is not promised to you. The next hour is not promised to you. The next day, the next 5 minutes is not promised to you. So take this time right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, you can do that by praying this prayer after me. If you feel it in your heart to do so, do it right now. Right now is your time. Say this prayer after me. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I am a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I need your only begotten Son, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior in his sacrifice, dying on that cross for my sins. I accept that. I confess that. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior because you died for my sins. I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for your forgiveness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer according to God's infallible, holy, righteous word, that you are saved. Don't let the devil trick you and tell you otherwise. It's not about going to church. It's not about abstaining from certain behavior, which all those things are good, but they don't save you. What saves you is accepting that you are a sinner and that Jesus has already paid the price for your sins. Now, you should not continue to sin, practice sin, live a life of sin, but just stop doing certain works do not save you. Believing and confessing that prayer is what saves you, according to God's word, and you can trust God's word. I thank God for you. If you can accept that, if you prayed that prayer and accepted Jesus Christ, write me, email me. I want to hear about it. Continue to study your Bible, read your Bible, listen to podcasts like this, where your soul is fed the word of God, because that's what we all need. We need God, we need his word, we need Jesus, we need his blood, we need his forgiveness and his mercy. I thank each and every one of you for listening. I ask that you pray for me, and I will pray for you, and I will see you in the next episode. God bless you. That's our time for today's program. We pray that this Bible study has blessed you. If you have a prayer request, you can email it to us at renewyourmind@gmail.com. Remember, you can hear current and past shows at any time on our website at renewyourmindministries.org or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. We encourage you to tell others about the program and share our website at renewyourmindministries.org. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." By telling others about the program, you're doing your part to spread the gospel into all the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Until next time, this has been Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God.